It's often considered a kind of mystery why Adam Smith didn't write more clearly about the Industrial Revolution. Let's look at this one a little more closely. One striking fact is that there really is a lot of history in The Wealth of Nations, whether it's history of medieval times, history of the collapse following the Roman Empire, history of silver prices, history of the colonies, or history of the East India Company. But can we look in that book and actually see also a history of the Industrial Revolution? That's a lot less clear. It's definitely the case that Smith clearly saw the rise of consumer society, which in today's world looks a bit like this photo, but in mid-18th century Great Britain was already well underway. It's perhaps when you look at Smith's discussions of the rise of towns, and nobles spending their money on baubles and trinkets rather than supporting workers on the land, that you can see this in Smith most clearly. So, to the extent the Industrial Revolution was first and foremost a consumer revolution, as has been stressed by such contemporary writers as McKendrick, well, in that regard, Smith, in a way, did see the onset of the Industrial Revolution. He just didn't focus so much on all those machines. You don't get the sense reading Smith that he understood that the modern world would end up looking a bit like this, and that there could be discontinuous jumps in the command of humanity over, say, energy and material resources. Instead, Smith is still quite worried about the notion of keeping capital intact, as is reflected by his analysis of productive and unproductive labor, and he actually suggests it's agriculture which stands the greatest chance of keeping capital intact and extending it. We all know Smith's famous discussion of the pin factory, but notice that pins are actually a consumer good, and it's reflecting the consumer revolution angle of the Industrial Revolution. Smith, by the way, calls his pin factory a trifling manufacture. I think arguably that's ironic, but it's not ironic in the sense that Smith saw these much bigger and better machines as more or less around the corner. It's also noteworthy that in The Wealth of Nations, the phenomenon of coal is barely mentioned. It does come up, but Smith in no way stresses its importance. Of course, a lot of later economic historians have stressed coal as being essential to an energy-driven industrial revolution based in Great Britain. Keep in mind that the so-called Industrial Revolution is a complex phenomenon, and we moderns often blur together two different developments. I think of there as being a first wave of the Industrial Revolution, running something like 1760 to 1830, and that's based in machines such as the steam engine. There's then a later and much more intense, and arguably more transformative, Industrial Revolution, based on larger-scale use of fossil fuels, and you can think of that as starting sometime around 1870, and that's what's giving birth to what we call the modern world, not this earlier Industrial Revolution starting in the 18th century. So Smith had some inkling of the first of these Industrial Revolutions, but he really doesn't seem to have had any sense of the second. In general, as I read The Wealth of Nations, Adam Smith views economic growth as gradual in nature, and actually not at all guaranteed that nations can also regress. Keep in mind that during Smith's time, the 18th century, well, we don't have really good data, but arguably it's the case that living standards in Great Britain were not advancing more than, say, about 1 percentage point a year. Given this background, and given that the 17th century was in some ways remarkably destructive, I think it's not a surprise that Smith is not seeing all the way ahead to the later Industrial Revolution, but rather he's to some extent looking back to human history, and of course Smith is also greatly influenced by the Roman and ancient Greek writers, and those were civilizations which collapsed. Smith also sees China as a kind of world leader, but also a remarkably stagnant society, so we're again back to there being this gradualist view in terms of Smith on economic growth. For more on this topic, there is an interesting piece called Adam Smith and the Industrial Revolution, and that is available through JSTOR. Also see our other videos on Adam Smith, especially those relating to trade between towns and the countryside.